over doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, that I might be thoroughly complete unto every good work. In that first chapter, in that doctrine, these are the blessings that you have in Christ. Ephesians 1, verse 4, he chose us in him. Verse 5, predestined us to adoption as sons. Verse 6, accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in him we have redemption. Verse 11, in him also we've obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, in him you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the guarantee of our inheritance. In chapter 2, again with sound doctrine, telling these brethren, especially if they had the Gentile background, what they were. And because in our lesson this morning, we're going to talk about that former conduct. But Paul's addressed it here in chapter 2 also, as well as in our lesson this evening. But in chapter 2, verse 11, he says, you were called uncircumcision by the circumcision. You're not circumcised. Verse 12, they were without Christ. Also in verse 12, they were strangers, having no hope. Verse 14, there was a wall of separation. So there was this different things that Paul addresses to these brethren in Ephesus that he wanted them to know. And then in our lesson this evening, or last week, we started off, I titled this lesson, Put Off and Put On. And in that beginning in verse 17, you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. All right, what did they walk? What was their walk like? Mentioned five things in the text. First of all, they walked in the futility of their mind. Their whole rationale was wasted on worthless objects. Futility. You're thinking about futile things and not priority. The Gentiles in verse 18, their understanding was darkened. In other words, they didn't want anybody to shed light on their thinking. Also, they were alienated from the life of God. In verse 19, the one I spent some time on, past feeling. I said that's some of the saddest words in the Bible. They were past feeling. I mean, they were callous, hard of heart. They didn't care. They were numb, detached, indifferent, lack of interest, cold. And I mentioned this hymn. It's not appropriate to do that. It's not in our book. It's in our earlier hymnal titled Almost Persuaded, a song that I've sung since from my youth. Just the words, almost persuaded. And that comes from in Acts 28. Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. So a hymn writer captured those words and put it to a hymn. And it says in an invitation song, almost persuaded. Almost. Now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Almost. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go your way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Second stanza. Almost persuaded. Come, come today. Almost persuaded. Turn not away. Jesus invites you here. Angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wanderer, come. And the last one, almost persuaded. And the last one, end times. Harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail. Almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost but lost. So a lot of good to be in torment for someone to say I was that close. Lean next to the one beside you in torment saying, boy, I heard a lot of good sermons. And, well, I almost obeyed. Not going to be much comfort in that. You have that expression, a miss is as good as a mile. You still missed. You missed it by a foot. You still missed. Almost. Sad, sad, that bitter way. And then the fifth thing that Paul describes their former conduct, they gave themselves over to lewdness. So now we're at point number two, and you notice that verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. In other words, you've been taught differently than what that former conduct was. You need to walk in quite a different way. And it's a way that's outlined by God. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul said, imitate me, but just as I also imitate Christ. So a new standard of walking. Not in your former conduct, not in the old way, but this way that you've now been taught by the gospel. There's a song, and I've used this song a couple times, but it teaches the lesson as much as I can preach it. It's hymn number 619. 619, we're going to sing this song again. But the words illustrate the lesson in Ephesians chapter 4. Put off and put on. So here's kind of note the words of the song. 619, new creature.
Buried with Christ, my blessed Redeemer, dead to the old life of folly and sin. Satan may call them, the world may entreat me. There is no voice that answers within. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew. But free, dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ, liveth in me. Dead unto sin, alive through the Spirit, risen with him from the gloom of the grave. All things are new, and I am rejoiced in his great love, his power to save. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ, liveth in me. No more is through old dominion, walking in newness of life I am free. Glorious life of Christ my Redeemer, which he so richly shareth with me. Dead to the world, to voices that call me, living anew, obedient but free. Dead to the joys that once did enthrall me, yet 'tis not I, Christ, liveth in me.
That's the lesson Paul presents in this section that we're studying in Ephesians chapter 4. So he begins at the bottom in verse 20. You haven't so learned Christ. In other words, those five characteristics that were listed above. So in verse 22, he says, here's the illustration. Now you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. So the illustration is of laying off an old garment that another and a better one may be put on. I wouldn't put off the old one unless it was that a good one and a better one. The old one hadn't been treating you right. So we know we want to put on a new one. So that's the illustration. So here he says, concerning that old conduct, that old garment, he says it grows corrupt. In other words, your former conduct's not good. It's as it gets older, it's getting worse. And he says, it's corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Hebrew writer gives a little explanation. Deceitful lusts. Hebrews 3, beginning of verse 12. Hebrew writer begins with the word beware. Beware, brethren. Lest there be in any an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Beware. It's interesting. Unbelief is described as an evil heart. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Well, he's talking about that former life. It's corrupt and it has deceitful lust. Beware of the deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is deceitful because it's going to promise happiness when gratified, but it's going to deliver misery. The deceitfulness of sin. Sin's deceitful in its appearance. It looks good. The bright lights, whatever and however it is you want to describe it. Oh, it's attractive. It's deceitful in its appearance. And it's deceitful in the promise of what it will bring. Deceitful. Promises you life and it brings you death. Promises happiness, brings you sorrow. Sin's deceitful. And Paul says, I want you to put off that former conduct, the old man, because it's going to grow corrupt and it's according to deceitful lust. Lust will always look good on the outside. But with age, it's going to grow corrupt and rotten on the inside. Deceitful lust. John describes it in 1 John 2, verse 15. Don't love the world or the things of the world, meaning worldliness, worldly behavior, worldly thinking. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, and here's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So it's not of the Father. That former life's not of the Father. You didn't get instructions from God to live a corrupt, deceitful life. Not of the Father, it's of the world. And then he says, the world passes away. It's not going to last. It may promise that. But he says, and the lust thereof passing. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So there's the contrast. So Paul is now saying in Ephesians chapter 4, put off the old. Put off the former conduct. The selfish kind of style of life. The life that doesn't care about God. So put on a new garment. It's new and it's better. New and improved. So it says in verse 23, well, how are we going to do that? What's the start? He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So now we have to have not only a new way of action, but a new way of thinking. I want you to think new. In Christ, that's new. The way you think and the way you act. Titus 2, verse 11 says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. We didn't learn that old way. What's the new way? Teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. The new garment, new way. He says, and then in verse 24, and that you put on the new man. So we can't just take off the old. Throw it aside. Say, all right, that's said and done. I'm finished with that. I feel a lot better now. Well, now we have to live a new way. We can't just take off the old. Put on the new man. So there's going to be a different look than the former conduct. New look. 1 Peter 2, verse 21 mentions one illustration of what is this new look going to look like. For to this were you called, because Christ suffered for you, also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. All right, so now I'm getting an idea. What does this new life look like? Oh, the life of Christ. He's the example. In 1 John 2, verse 6, it says, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Walk like Christ did. He went about doing good. Interested in the lives of others. A new way of thinking, a new way of acting. He said, but then he adds to it in verse 24, which was created according to God. So I put in your notes, God's given us the blueprint. We just need to follow that. If there's any doubt, you get out the blueprint. If anybody suggests something, you think, I'm not sure about it, check it with the blueprint. And see what the Word of God says. Ephesians 2, verse 10, similar phrase. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. A new walk, a new man. You put off that former conduct, that all those characteristics that are mentioned in the top of your notes. New stuff. So then the point number three. You can see. Let me just point out. Let me just see where. You can see where we're going, and I'll stop you. In your notes, so you can kind of look ahead. So in verse 12, bottom of your first page, point number three. Therefore, so because you put on the new man, do this. So put away lying. Next page. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't allow the opportunity to cause you to sin in anger. Don't steal, verse 28. Verse 29, no corrupt word, but I want you to speak that what is good, edifying, and gracious. Three things. Verse 30, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And there are at least seven sins that the Bible mentions against the Spirit. I've listed those for you. Then he goes back to putting away. Put away, and it's all. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. And verse 32, and be. So he keeps giving the contrast. This is what I don't want you to do. This is what I want you to do. Left and right, old man, new man. So verse 32, be kind to one another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Forgiveness has two components that are difficult, I think, in life, or for some people, I shouldn't say with everybody. It's difficult to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness, and then be gracious to give it for the one you're asking from. Those two components of forgiveness. We have to ask. Easier said than done sometimes. And the other person has the responsibility of granting. That's what we do with God. God, I messed up again today. Be gracious, yes. Then the last one, verse chapter 5, the first. So be imitators of God. This is as dear children. Children want to copy the parents. Even our six-year-old, even this afternoon, they were over, and I knew what was happening, but Monroe was standing behind me. Okay, Christine, we looked up and says, Monroe's copying you. Yeah. And then the last, very, very last one, verse 2 of chapter 5, walk in love. And then here's the example again. What's it going to look like? As Christ also loved us and given himself for us. So we'll continue this lesson next week. Lord willing. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. And you're subject to that. That shows hymn number 922. Many times in coming to God, the problem is not knowledge. We know what to do. We just need to have that desire, that resolve, and then step out and do it. And so that's what we sing, a song of encouragement. I use the words encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. If you've not been baptized for remission of sins, you've not obeyed that gospel message. You have that opportunity all the time, but we're offering it tonight at the close of this lesson. So let's stand as we sing this song, number 9. 2.